Okay, we have worked now to overcome some of your beliefs, our limiting beliefs, and help us begin to see the world a little differently, begin to render reality differently. And now we turn our attention to something a little more practical and pragmatic, and that is, how do I get the best performance out of my team or out of my person or out of somebody that I need to perform at a better level than they're currently performing? And the tool that I like to use is a little model I've developed called the ARISE Performance Model. And the word ARISE just stands for a couple of different things to keep in mind. So the ARISE model is A is awake. Are the people that you are managing, are they awake to the expectations you have? The second letter is R, the resources. Do the people have the right resources to do the work they need to do? I is inexperienced. Are they inexperienced in some way that is material to the task that they have before them? S, do they have the right skills? And last but not least, E, are they engaged? Is there engagement in the work that they're doing? All five of these things, everything about performance can be reduced to these five basic things. And the first one, the A, is all about you. The rest are all about them. And so, as is my custom, anytime there's somebody's not performing at the level that you would like, we always start by looking in the mirror. What are you bringing to this person's life as a manager? So here we're really exploring your management practice. That's where it starts. And the fundamental question you're going to ask in order to get at this is, are they awake to your expectations? So everything I'm about to show you is detailed in the workbook that I have that you can download for this video. And that workbook, by the way, covers the next couple of videos where we go deeper into a lot of these things, but just wanted it all contained in one place for you so it's a little more convenient. But there are eight questions you're going to ask yourself before you do any work to improve somebody else's performance. You're going to ask yourself these questions. So the first question you're going to ask is, have I communicated my expectations? Have I even shared what I think needs to happen for them? It's very common for leaders to actually forget this. And one of the things I recommend is that you put those expectations in writing. That really helps. So you can start with a conversation, follow up with an email, make sure it's in writing so that everybody can refer back to it later. That's the first question. Now, the rest of these questions are all designed to get at the same issue, but with a lot more specificity. Second question is, have I clearly defined the target we are aiming at? Do they know what the goals are? Do you have metrics that they need to be aware of? Do you have stretch goals? Do you have minimum goals? Do you have dashboards that you use? Make sure that you're communicating, here's the goal, here's what we're all aiming at together. Next question. Have I told them how we should get there? Now, this isn't always the case. You don't always have to do this, but you may know based on relational dynamics or power hierarchies or politics or big projects coming up, you may know that there are certain things they have to do in order to get there. Have you given them a map? Have you shown them, here's the path by which we're going to get to this thing that I need you to get to? They can design one, but it may not be right. And so if you're not going to give them the how, you'll let them know, look, it's your job to figure out the how. I'm not going to tell you that. And it's not just guesswork because I don't know. Or it doesn't matter how to me. However you want is fine with me. But the key is you have to make sure you address the how, not just the what, but the how. Next question. Have I helped them sequence the steps? So this is really critical. There are lots and lots of things that people need to do, and they have a lot of things they have to get done. And one of the things you can help them with is you can make things so much more efficient, so much more productive, and help them get engaged when you actually tell them what order the things should happen in. Now, some of this may be obvious to you, but it may not be obvious to them. So you want to make sure you guys are aligned on, do we see it the same way? Here's the sequence in which I think things need to happen. Next question. Have I prioritized their tasks? Now, this is important. Sometimes people conflate sequencing and prioritizing, but actually sequencing is about the order in which something happens, which goes first, second, third. Prioritizing isn't necessarily about what order it goes in, but rather what weight it is given. So what issue is more important or most important? Sometimes a really important issue isn't the first issue you deal with, but it needs an extra, a special care and attention. More time, resources, and energy need to be devoted to certain tasks and not others. And this is critical that you identify what the priorities are, what the issues that are weighted more heavily from your perspective, because you don't want them burning cycles and wasting time, investing lots of time, energy, and effort into an issue that doesn't require a lot of time, energy, and effort. And you can't assume that they know what those things are. So those are some pretty important questions. Next question. This is really often over, like, have I verified shared understanding? So this one I see missed all the time. You could go through all those first five steps, and you would end up with total misalignment. And the reason is because you haven't verified, do you understand it the same way I understand it? And there's different ways to do this so that it's not sort of insulting to them. But what you're really trying to get at is you can simply say, hey, I want to make sure that I'm communicating clearly. Doesn't always happen. It would help me if you could feedback to me and share with me your understanding of what I've just asked for. That way we can make sure we're on the same page. Or you could say, what's your understanding of what I just said? You could say it that simply if you want. But the idea is you want to make sure that it's verified, and then you can tweak and fine tune. Okay. Now the next two are a little bit more optional, but they're important to be aware of, especially when you're dealing with much more complex things. So again, when you're dealing with the fact that someone isn't performing at the level that you need them to, one of the things you want to make sure you're doing is you're paying attention to this issue of buy-in, whether or not they're bought into what you're doing. So the next question is, did I stage the ascent? You remember module 1, video 14? That's where you can go back and review that or see that if you haven't seen it yet. This is where I outline how you get people bought into a particular project, initiative, or anything. And what that does is when you get that buy-in, you get better performance. So you want to make sure you do this. And by the way, staging the ascent describes an emotional process of coming to a place of enrolling in an idea. That emotional process in some cases only takes a 10-minute conversation, and for other things it could take 10 months. And it could be a series of lots of conversations and meetings and presentations before somebody has made their way into being bought into an idea or a vision. So that's the seventh question. And the last question you can ask yourself, this is also optional, and that is, should I use an 80-20 process? Okay, so this question's a bit more cryptic. So let me explain what I mean by what an 80-20 process actually is. So a company came to me, they had hired me to try to get their team moving in the same direction. People were all over the place. The leader was telling them to do one thing, and nobody was doing that. They were all doing different things. And so there was a lot of struggle. So I went in and I began to interview all the key stakeholders and try to understand what's going on, what's your understanding, what's happening, what's your frustration, what do you see, what are the tensions, all that fun stuff. And what I got was this incredible resistance. And the resistance was this: none of the team members felt that the leader had made any credible decision on this matter. So whatever issue they were facing, it was a new strategic approach to their business. And they did not feel he knew what he was talking about. And this is really critical. Buy-in is grounded in a leader's credibility as much as anything else. And credibility is this currency. It's like a stock. It rises and falls in every moment based on decisions you're making and the aggregate collection of what people perceive about you. And so there are ways for leaders to build credibility. Even if they think they already have credibility, they may not realize they've lost it. And so there are habits you got to get into to build this credibility. So when you're dealing with bigger issues, the 80-20 process is one of the best ways to build credibility and generate buy-in. Here's how it works. So this is the suggestion that I gave to this CEO of this company to help his team get better buy-in. Here's how it works. I'm going to just walk you through all the steps, okay? So step number one in this whole endeavor is to get frontline data. So here's what happens in step one. You gather the people together and you tell them, hey, I've got a new initiative that I know we need to do by virtue of my vantage point in the organization and all the things that I can see. This is what I think needs to happen. We're not getting what we need. And what I want you to do is I want you guys to help me build it because I want it to be as good as possible. And here's where I'd like to start the process. Here's the fundamental challenge we're facing. Here's the thing I want to build. I'd like you to take some time to come up with what you think would solve these problems? What tensions are you sensing? You guys are closer to the front lines than I am. You have line of sight on things I can't see. I'd love for you to gather the data, all the data. And you can do this in different ways. You can ask, you know, what are the problems you see out there? What are the trends you're seeing? What are the tensions or problems you think need to be solved? You could also give them a request that they build their own, what's called a SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T. What are the threats and opportunities outside our organization? And then what are our strengths and weaknesses relative to those opportunities and threats? You could ask them to develop that. It doesn't really matter what you do. You're just trying to gather data. Get them to bring data. And when you do that, you can then move to step two. And here's step two. You actually get everybody in a room and you analyze the data together. So you get all the different people and parties and stakeholders and you bring them in and you actually work through. Here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm seeing. They all present and you have a nice conversation. You maybe push back. You ask questions. You could even have a debate. If you see people seeing different things, that's a good thing. You want to make sure you raise anywhere there are differences. Okay? And what you're doing this whole process, by the way, is you're generating credibility because you're starting by listening and you're evolving buy-in because you're actually staging the ascent as you go. You're having them actually help you build it rather than unilaterally deliver it. So that's a really critical piece. Let's move on to the next step. Step number three is you go back, you present the plan at 80%. So here's what that means. After you've gathered all the data, after you've gotten everything you need, you actually go build the plan based on everything you heard. See, you have purview by virtue of being the leader of lots of different things they can't see. So you build it up to about 80%. You bake the cake most of the way there, but not all the way there. And you let them know you're going to do this. You say, I'm going to go back, bake the cake at about 80%, and then I'm going to have you guys take it the remaining 20%. And that is actually the next step. So step number four is to bring it back to them, present at 80%, and have them build the rest of the way. The remaining 20%, here they're gonna have debates, disagreements, all those things. Now, when you get through to that point and you feel like you've had enough conversations and enough debates and you guys are at the place where you can see clearly, look, we've got it pretty much where it needs to be, you're still not gonna have total agreement in every case. There are gonna be people that don't like it, there are gonna be people that disagree with it, and that's okay, because what you're gonna do is you're gonna move to the final step in the process, step five, which is to ask for alignment. I put alignment in quotes because this is a very important word. After you've done this, you're gonna do two things. You're gonna present the plan. You're gonna say to them, first of all, thank them. Thank you for all your time, energy, and effort, everything you put into this, all the ways you helped build this. And the second thing you're gonna do is you're gonna ask them to be aligned with this path, this plan. You're not asking them to agree. And you make this distinction. I'm not asking you to agree with this, but I am asking you to align to it, align around it. And here's what I mean by alignment. Alignment means that you will publicly support it and support it in your actions. Agreement means you are fully in agreement with the decision that's being made. It's okay for you to be in a place of disagreement about the decision. What I'm asking for is alignment, not agreement. And that weird thing happens when you ask for alignment, not agreement. When you make that little distinction, what you give people is a chance to join you without feeling like they're violating their own integrity, their own sense of what's right and what's wrong. You actually give them that. You can have that. Absolutely. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for behavior, not your feelings on the matter. And this actually unleashes people to get more bought in. Now, everything I've just walked you through, these first eight questions and all these steps and stages, are just part of the A in Arise, the awake. Are people awake to your expectations, to what it is you want them to do, be, and have? So that's the first step. In the next video, we're going to start walking you through the remaining aspects of the Arise performance model.